One thing we want them to fully understand is they're not alone. Sometimes they feel like they're alone because there's not other believers around them until they can build a church, create a body of believers around them.
Everybody, Doc Brian here, and welcome to Doc Talks. We talk about people's troubles, trials, tribulations, and hopefully triumphs in life. Again, today we're in LifeWord Studios. LifeWord is the media ministry of the Baptist Missionary Association of America, broadcasting in over 150 languages to 127 countries to a potential listening audience over 2 billion people. And we're glad to be today a part of LifeWord. You can find all their content at lifeword.org. Today, I have a special guest with me, Dr. Jonathan Montgomery. How does it feel to have that doctor in front of your name today?
Well, it is really just a relief just to be done with all the study. That was really a long process, and sometimes I even forget that I have those letters in front, but it's a nice blessing that Lord's allowed me to have. It's nice to be looking forward ahead of ministry, not back at my studies.
Yeah, so you just graduated, what, a month ago from Mid-America?
Yes, finished up in the fall semester and had graduation there at the end of that semester. And so, it was a great journey. But again, I'm glad it's in the past now.
Yeah. So you have a PhD in, is it biblical counseling that you have?
Yes, that's right. Biblical counseling. Mm-hmm.
So Jonathan is the director of missionary care for BMA Global, all of our missionaries here at the BMA. So Jonathan, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us about family, your organization, church that you're in, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I've been married now for 18 years to my wife, Mandy, and we actually live in her hometown. We attend her home church. I had served before stepping into this role with BMA Global, served as student pastor here at First Baptist Church in Taylor, Arkansas. So we live here in southwest Arkansas, and we have 2 boys, Max and Ben. Max is in high school at Taylor High School. Ben is still in elementary, got a few more years before he heads over to the high school, and really most of what our life involves, especially here lately, is baseball. We're a baseball family, so fall ball, spring ball, summer ball, it's just baseball year-round, and we love it and keeps us busy, and so that's a little bit about our family.
That's great. So tell me a little bit about your calling. When did you know that God had placed a call in your life, not just necessarily specific to ministry, but in missionary care or in counseling?
Well, I really surrendered to ministry years ago. I was 14 years old, grew up in church, became a believer, and just really as I was growing in my faith, I realized that, you know, one, God wants our obedience. And so as I was praying, Lord, how can I be more obedient? He just really burdened me that he really wanted me to serve him in some way in ministry. And so through my years of ministry, you know, preaching in churches, serving on staff, being an associate pastor, being a student pastor, all those things have really led me, I think, to this point. And in each of those stages, I was able to meet with missionaries, see missionaries, have missionaries visit our churches, go on mission trips, lead teams for our church, lead teams for VSM, the Volunteer Student Missions, as a part of BMA Global, what they do worldwide with student missions. And through all those relationships, he just really burdened my heart, one, to care for missionaries, to care for them on an individual level, them and their kids, their families. And so through those relationships, he's opened up the door now for me to serve in this role. And really just counseling, you know, we talked about just completing my degree. I didn't even pursue counseling as a degree when I started at Mid-America. I was actually looking ahead, thinking about teaching seminary or college level. Church history was my original degree. And just a God story of taking an elective in a counseling class, God kind of opening the door, it looked like for missionary care as a possibility. I just really felt burdened that counseling was such a need within our churches, within ministry in general, but especially for the life of missionary and missionary families. And so that's kind of how I really came into the idea of counseling is through missionary care, just having a burden for our missionaries who are serving around the world.
Yeah, so tell me about that pivotal moment where you knew that missionary care is where you needed to be. It may have been on a mission trip. It may have been at a conference or a seminar, but that moment that just kind of rings in your memory of this is what I know God wants me to do?
Well, spending time with missionaries in their homes, on the field, on trips, just really seeing their struggles, seeing, you know, they do a lot of great work, but, you know, they're humans in the end. And so just like any person serving in any type of ministry, whether you're vocational ministry or a volunteer at a church, there's always added burdens to you. And so hearing them share their stories, really that first trip, often go back, I kind of have like a list of the top 10 pivotal moments of my life. And one was on that very first trip I ever took as a 20-year-old student on a mission trip years ago. We were in a room, and it was one of those situations where everybody was kind of talking over each other. And we were just looking for a gap just to be able to share what was on our mind. And one of our team members just yelled at us that, you know, none of you are listening. You're terrible listeners. You're not, you know, you're only looking for a opportunity to speak and share what's on your mind. And in that moment, I really wanted to become a better listener. And so from really that conversation, the very first mission trip, I just, you know, really felt burdened to listen more, talk less, be willing to hear people's stories. And just even through our church, we have a missionary who serves in a Creative Access Nation. Her family does. And she grew up in our church. And so just building relationships with her and her family, knowing, you know, what they go through, God just kind of, again, just burdened my heart for the life of a missionary. And just over time, he just kind of opened up the doors for me able to serve in a capacity where I can help and encourage and really just kind of bring greater emphasis to the needs of missionaries and how we can best care for them and their families.
Yeah. As a society, it seems like that we listen to respond, not listen to understand. And that has really followed over into a lot of our everyday life. I served with you last year at a missionary care conference in Hot Springs, and it was a unique experience for me to be around missionaries from all over the world. You know, growing up in church, we would have missionaries that come, but you really didn't have that intimate time where you really got to know them or got to know their hearts. I had visited with Brother Jerry Kidd, who's, you know, just one of the best of the best. When he did missionary care, and I still think he has some part of that. But Brother Jerry would share with me that our missionaries, while they are human, and while they do have all the same type of emotions that we may have, that their mental health complications may be unique in a lot of areas simply because of where they are located. Is there any particular thing that really sticks out in your mind associated with that?
Yeah, I think really, especially for most of our churches, BMA, we're, you know, kind of in the Bible Belt, Arkansas, Texas, you know, kind of in that a region where a majority of our churches are. We kind of live in a bubble, and we're kind of, sometimes that's a blessing to be in a kind of a bubble as well, but it also can be a curse because when anyone steps out, serving even a church planting role here in the United States in another state, you know, it's just there's a lot of culture shock in different places outside of our BMA world, and especially for missionaries when they go to a different country, learn a different language, encounter different things. You know, they really are challenged in lots of ways. One thing just in conversations with missionaries, Ephesians 6 has become a lot more of a real text to me. When you read, you know, all the spiritual warfare that they go through, and they just share lots of stories that they're just truly in spiritually dark places. And, you know, their eyes are kind of open to, you know, a lot of spiritual attack, a lot of things that go on there that sometimes we kind of we're not really as accustomed to or hearing those types of stories. So just to be able to listen, to hear them share, you know, what their struggles are and how it is different in a lot of places where, you know, the only people that know about Jesus are the people that sit around your breakfast table every day. And so that's really just kind of a lot of hardships that they face when they're trying to meet new people and make those relationships in hopes of sharing with them Christ so they can be saved. And as a result, start a church and grow a church and make disciples, you know, all the things that we're passionate about within our missions movement. But on a personal level, you know, they're just really kind of shocked as to different things that they encounter culturally. And just a lot of the barriers that they have to face, overcome to even get to a point to where they can have a one-on-one conversation and really reach people at the heart level, which is what all their goals are.
Yeah, I like the way that you framed it, that we kind of live in this bubble. I pastored North Little Rock, but before I came here 10 years ago, I pastored in a small rural town in Oklahoma, and moving to the city was quite the culture shock. You can't lead a church, you can't do discipleship, you can't do outreach the way that you do in a small country town. And so it took a lot. I would say it took probably a year and a half to 2 years before I really began to settle in to how ministry worked here in a metro area. Now, I can't imagine being a missionary, being placed out in the field. Of course, as I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but when we send our missionaries out, they're given a year of language school. And so they are potentially learning a brand new language and then placed in to where they're going to minister to try to plant a church. So not only are there the cultural differences, but they are completely being submerged into this culture, language, and all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, our leadership and those who train our missionaries, our regional coordinators, one thing that they stress to our missionaries is that first year is so vital. Our missionaries, they have that kind of American mindset. When they leave, they're ready to hit the ground running. They're already looking ahead. I want to plant this number of churches. I want to see this amount of growth. I've got this time schedule. They have all these goals, and we're very goal-oriented type of people. But really, we encourage them that first year, you've got to focus on yourself. You got to focus on learning that language, learning that culture. And if they get too far ahead of themselves, then there are always other added hurdles later on that they didn't take the necessary time that first year in particular to really immerse themselves completely in learning the language, learning cultural aspects around them, to really kind of soak all that in. Because to reach a people, you have to know a people, and you have to know kind of what makes them tick and how they think and how they look at life and how they operate on just a human level. And so that first year is a very vital year for the life of our missionaries. Yes.
Yeah, and we also have some missionaries that are in places of the world where the gospel isn't necessarily looked positively upon, and some of these places may even be hostile in some sort of way. How do you connect and minister to those missionaries who are under that kind of constant battle?
Well, like I mentioned, one of the missionaries that I have a very close relationship with, she grew up in our church. Her family serves in what we call a creative access nation. So rather than name the country that they serve in or the regions they serve in, we just lump them all together and call them creative access, because we have to think creatively how they get in. Some of them get in as, a teaching visa. Some of them get in and they work as a business, as mission. So they run a business or an organization. And of course, that's their way to get into the nation. But their real goal is to really to make relationships and build relationships. And they're what they come up with is what they would call a church may look very different than what we look at as a church, because, certain countries have certain rules that you can't have so many people assemble in your home. And so it's really a small group kind of mentality, small group cells that they are able to meet in and worship in. And so ministering to them, we're very careful and cautious. Most of them, have, private emails that we can kind of openly communicate specific things related to the gospel or missions and church ministry. But as a whole, there's lots of things that we can't say when we connect social media or other platforms that we kind of communicate. It's just kind of a general encouragement. How's life there? What's the food like? Have y'all been able to celebrate holidays? Those types of kind of general things that are very relatable to any person living any place in the world. But we know that they have different types of struggles because they can't be as open with their faith. Whereas other people who maybe are called to serve in a country where it is a little more looks more like what we would consider a church culture or a place that where you could have a open assembly and freely be able to come together and worship and evangelize and make disciples. So we always have to think through those different things and minister really in different ways based on where they are in their context and where they're serving.
Yeah, I recall when we were together in the Missionary Care Conference that one thing that was plainly stated was that we were not to post any pictures on social media because there were people there who were from these creative access. I think that's how you worded that.
Right.
Countries of where they could be, for lack of a better word, hunted down and prosecuted because of their faith. One thing that I was able to connect with some of our missionaries at that conference, and what I heard a lot of was anxiety of the unknown, especially in these creative access countries and places that it could be jail time if they were found out. It could be, heaven forbid that they be put to death or in prison, but I'm sure that I know that has happened outside of the BMA. I don't know that that's ever happened within our organization. But how do we, and even one missionary, started describing to me of what I recognized as a panic attack, and he had never even considered that would be the possibility. How do we approach mental health within the ministry? And I know it kind of, there's this stigma and this kind of cliche around, if we trust God and we give everything to Him, that, He'll take care of our needs. And that is true. But as my friend Ben Bennett has a t-shirt that says, it's okay to have Jesus and a therapist. So how do we approach the mental health aspect of these missionaries?
Well, we want them obviously to trust God. That's the forefront of what every believer wants, is to trust God. But God also places people in your life that can help you, that can talk with you, that can encourage you, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a friend, a mentor, even counselors. We really stress counseling as one of the aspects of our ministry, counseling and coaching and all sorts of things that we do offer for our missionaries. But one thing we want them to fully understand is they're not alone. And when sometimes they feel like they're alone, because literally, in a physical sense, there's not other believers around them until they can build a church and make relationships and disciple and create a body of believers around them. But even when they're first there and it's just their family, especially in these creative access places or places that are, not many believers around or zero believers around, we want them to understand that there's a team of people readily available to reach out to them, to encourage them, even just sending, birthday greetings. We like to do that, just notes every once in a while that we just encourage them, that we're praying for you. Even if they don't respond, sometimes we don't expect a response, but we want them to know that there are people behind them, supporting them. And especially in the world that we live in, the virtual world, we're able to communicate in real time. Whereas years ago, a lot of our missionaries did struggle, especially with mental health needs, because of that isolation and not being able to talk with somebody or be able to communicate. But now, with thanks to Zoom and all sorts of other ways that we are able to communicate in real time to our missionaries, that's what I do. Is set up times that we can communicate face-to-face or on a call, and it makes it so much easier to let them know, hey, here's some resources, here's some things that we can offer to help you. Know that you have people that love you and care about you, and you don't have to struggle. There's lots of resources, and that we want to make those available, connecting them with counselors or whatever needs may come up. We want to help try to meet those needs, because if they're facing a burden, just like any of us, if we're, burdened down with something, that's going to be the only thing we focus on. We're not going to be able to focus on ministry or life or, just taking the next step forward in life. And so we want to help alleviate those burdens however we can, and whatever tools God gives us, we're going to use those to be able to help meet their needs so that they can fully focus on the mission, on what God's called them to do, because they are burdened. They want to see the real burden they have is to reach the lost, to let the gospel be proclaimed and let people who've never heard the name of Jesus hear the name of Jesus so they can be saved and to see a church started and to see lives change as a result of what the gospel can do. And so anything we can do to help them with their mental health, emotional health, physical health, even, of course, their spiritual health, that's what we're here to walk alongside them and to guide them in the tools and the resources to help them to keep going with what God's called them to do.
One of the biggest lies that the enemy has ever told is that we have to do it alone. And right. And that is not true for anybody. As men, we like to think that we can do it alone, but we can't. We need each other. What is the process, and you may or may not have been involved in anything of this nature, but what is the process when our organizational leaders get to a point of where they think that this missionary isn't necessarily responding to the support to the mental health care, and it's time for them to come home for a time? What is that process? What does that look like?
Well, I've not been involved with that personally to where we've had people who've reached those points. Really, because of the idea of missionary care, we want to kind of step in, be very proactive. I know in the past, there's been times where we've had to be reactive because things have come up and maybe they weren't able to offer help earlier and needed to have them to come home and have some rest time and downtime. I had a conversation with our president of BMA Global, Dr. John David Smith, the other day, and he had a conversation with a missionary. He said, "Your one task is she shared that she just needs some rest," and said, "Just encourage her. She needs to take some time that she, while she's stateside, that she gets some much needed rest, because that there's great value in that." Of course, we want missionaries who are hard workers, but if you can't take care of yourself and know that you realize that you have limitations, you can't go all hours of the day and night. You have to have a time to rest and practice personal soul care, then you're not going to be very effective in the work and the ministry God's called you to do. And so we're trying to take those steps to be more proactive, to let them know these are the things to kind of look for. If you feel like you've hit a brick wall, you're struggling in some ways, you know, take a step back and kind of evaluate, allow others up, us or whoever, leadership coordinators, to kind of give you maybe some guidance or things that to be looking for. And so we don't want them to reach that point. But I do know from our history, there have been occasions of that in the past. And so that's why we've really kind of stepped up our game of having missionary care and doing more proactive things to really communicate well to our missionaries that, again, like you said, the enemy wants us to feel like we're alone. We've never done this before. We're in uncharted territory. And in some ways, they may be, because they're places that have not yet received the gospel. But yet their stories is very similar to past stories of other missionaries and others who have walked similar paths, maybe in different places. But we can connect them with other missionaries as well, that to help and encourage. And really, going back to the conference you were talking about, that was really one of the main goals, is for our missionaries to connect with one another, because, again, they're serving to the ends of the earth. Many of them do not know each other on a personal level. And so the more times that we can have interactions like that, it helps them to realize, you know, here's somebody that has done this before. They know what I'm going through. I can share my heart. And I know there's somebody that can help me, give me guidance into what I need to do and how to keep going in the work that God's called them to do. And so that's, again, even though it's the conferences are great tools that we have available to have them connected with others, again, so that they don't feel like they're alone.
Pew Research several years ago did a study on rest when it relates to pastors. And the outcome of that study stated that a pastor has to be off or away for 14 days before he really begins to unplug from his work. And I can tell you, I have taken a 16-day vacation one time, and on about the fifth day, I felt guilty for being away from the church. You spoke a little bit about self-care and rest. What are some things that, as ministers, as missionaries, or even just as individuals, that we can do to give us that rest, that self-care that we need?
Well, first of all, we obviously can look to our Savior as a great example, because even when God created the heavens and the earth, He didn't need to rest on that seventh day. There was no reason. I mean, he could keep going on, keep creating. He doesn't need the rest, but he did that as an example because he knew part of his creation were you and I, and he knew that we needed rest. We needed to take time to have a Sabbath for ourselves. Jesus practiced that throughout his earthly ministry. And so looking at him and his example, you know, if the Son of God, you know, realized there was value of spending time with the Father in prayer, spending time alone, spending time away from the work and the task and the people and the crowds, then, you know, us mere mortals, we definitely need that time to rest and have a Sabbath and do those things, put those things into practice. You know, we Our missionaries are hard workers, and we love that. We want them to be overachievers. We want them to set goals and those things. But at the end of the day, sometimes you can work yourself too hard, and you have to realize that there's great benefit to rest, to having downtime. You know, like you shared your own story. I know many times that I've been on vacation, I still like to work. I still like to answer emails and things. And my wife has to remind me, you know, you need to have time off just as well as anybody else to be fully unplugged, to be able to focus on yourself and your own needs. And so just those experiences, we help to remind our missionaries of those same things, that there are times that, of course, they, you know, starting a new church or early stages, you may be fully focused and really running hard in that time, but you need to also look ahead and carve out time to know that you need some downtime for yourself. And so we really encourage them to look at, you know, what it means to have, you know, personal Bible study times, quiet times. Every pastor is guilty lots of times that we may be so focused on studying and preparing the next sermon or lesson or counseling session that sometimes we fail to realize that we have to stay connected to the Father, and we have to be just as close to Him. Because if we aren't, and then we're not going to be as effective being a servant for the Lord. And so we want to remind them of those things, of how to stay truly connected to the vine and be abide in Christ. So that they can continue to be effective to what God's called them to do.
Any time that I've been on vacation, my wife has always reminded me, we have paid a lot of money for this experience, not for you to be on your phone. And it's difficult. Last summer, we went to New York and went to Legoland and all this kind of stuff. And it wasn't until I got home that I found out that one of our church members' husband passed away while we were gone. And I was a little, to be honest, I was a little hurt that they didn't call and let me know, but they said, we want to respect your time. And, you know, there wasn't anything you could do. And so there is that fine balance there, though, between taking time for ourselves and still shepherding our flock. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head that we have to abide in Christ and know that He is the supplier of all of our needs, not just physical, tangible needs, but our needs for mental health, our needs for rest, and to really lean into Him in those moments. When it comes to missionaries, I'm sure that there are moments when there are things that are happening at home that really begin to burden their heart. I have heard stories of missionaries who their children have developed some terminal illness while they were on the field and they came home, or they sent their children back home. How does that affect the mental health of that individual in relating to being able to continue the ministry in the field?
Those are good thoughts there, because you know, all of our missionaries, they have family that remain here stateside, and some of them are very supportive of their work. Some of them are not as supportive of their work. In fact, you know, we do have some missionaries that their family stateside are unbelievers, so they really don't understand why you would want to leave your home and leave your family and to go to serve in a different place, or go to work in a different place, live in a different culture. And then the added burden of being away, and then you know, your kids grow up, and most of our missionary kids, they return to the States to study and start their own lives as well. And so one thing we do is we offer lots of resources for parents, for our missionary parents, that you know, we want to care for your kid as while they're here. Again, it's just an added tool that we want to do to help alleviate that focus, that burden, because it is a real burden. I mean, to think about things that are going home. You know, you and I were at a meeting last week, and one of our missionaries shared the story that he went to his brother's funeral, and he was seeing all these pictures that were being shared in the slideshow that happened in his brother's life. He didn't even know any of those things that were going on, because he was away from his siblings. And you know, all of our missionaries share those types of stories where they missed out on a lot of things. And sometimes that can weigh on you. And sometimes, sadly, a family who is states or are stateside may allow that to weigh on you and really make you feel guilty as a result for missing those things. And so we have to kind of talk with them through those things and help them to kind of better understand, where their family's coming from, but also to understand what they're feeling, their emotions, that they're dealing with those things, and just kind of talk through those things, because it is, all those things at times can be distractions. And sometimes they're good distractions, because you may need to have those conversations with loved ones or work on those relationships when you are stateside on a furlough visit. But also sometimes the enemy may use those as well to really keep you distracted from what you know you've been called to do and the task at hand. And so we want to walk with them through those things and help them, whatever the situation may be, whether it is parents of missionaries, whether it's the kids of missionaries when they do grow up and return stateside. And so we want to walk with them because of all those things that they deal with on the field, but also back in the States, their life here that they remember and they have, and those connections as well.
If the enemy can keep us distracted, then I don't want to say we fail in ministry, but it's very difficult to do ministry effectively if we're continuously distracted. Dr. Montgomery, it's been good to have you here with us today on Doc Talks. I want to ask you if you had one message to pastors, to missionaries, when it relates to their mental health, to their care, what would that message be?
Well, really, it's not selfish to take care of yourself. And sometimes we feel like that. We want to put Christ first and others second. And, the whole idea, if we want to have joy in our life, I used that in a sermon recently, Jesus, others, and you. But really, there are times that you need to focus on yourself and your own mental, emotional health, physical health even, but ultimately even your spiritual health, that you've got to stay in tune with the Father. And when you sometimes reach hardships, that's when, the Savior who loves you and cares about you and knows you intimately wants you to find rest and find ways to look after your own needs. Because if you are so burdened that you're not taking care of yourself, you're never going to be able to fully live out your calling and live out helping the people that you've been called to, whether it's a congregation here in a rural church in America, or whether it's people you're trying to reach who've never heard about Jesus Christ at the other end of the world. There are times that it is good and noble and worthwhile to look after yourself and your own needs with the goal of being that you want to continue to serve in Christ and serve in others. And so that's really what I hope most pastors and missionaries realize, is there's great value to learn and to grow for yourself and to take time to work on your own relationship with the Father so that you can continue to be effective in what He's called you to do.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Montgomery, it's been good to have you here with us today on Doc Talks. And you can find more about our missionary care, about our missionaries, at bmaglobal.org. Of course, I'm Doc Brian. You can find me at thedocbrian.com. You can find all of our content at lifeword.org. We would invite you to take a look at everything that we have there for you. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, just about anywhere where you find your social media content. Dr. Montgomery, again, it's good to have you with us here today. And thank you so much for your insight and your perspective and your heart for our missionaries. Hope everybody has a great afternoon, and we will talk to you soon.